Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you the glory. Holy Father, thank you that you help us to listen, to hear, to receive, to understand. Thank you that you speak to us what we truly need to hear. And your word helps us mature. It speaks to us. It teaches us. It's the study of the word that will help us to mature. It's your word that teaches us, disciples us, and makes us grow. Of course, if we receive it. But that's the truth, your word that brings that growth in our lives. I thank you for it. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, last time that we were together on this study series of God is my source, I've been seeing how God is our source of wisdom, our source of understanding, our source of discerning, of understanding, of judging with the Word of God, the things of our daily life. And last time we were on our subject, and today we'll see part two of the benefits of confessing God's Word. There are benefits in confessing God's Word. I don't know if you knew that. And one of the things that I mentioned in our last session, that unfortunately people take this to extremes. They'll take it to extremes. And there are other people who will say, oh yeah, that was about confession and positive confession and things of the sort. And it's true, there are people who do take it to extremes. But I'm going to stay with the Bible. I'm not interested in extremes. I'm interested in what the Bible says and what the Word says. And there are benefits. I should also say that confessing the Word does not mean that it's just a magic wand or a quick fix. But there are benefits in confessing the Word of God. And you have to understand, the Bible says, for I, Jehovah, do not change. And there are many parts where it says that God does not change. The times have changed. But the perfect will of God does not change. And the years can go on, and the God's way of thinking is the same. And perhaps some of you have noticed it as well. But for 19 years and 8 months now, I traveled in this country to different churches. And with time, over time with technology, people have stopped using the Bible instead of using their phone. For example, some of you here have your arms crossed. Instead of bringing your Bible, you stop bringing the Bible just to see there on the screen. And you'll come to be hearers of the Word. And it won't work for you. It won't work for you. You know what happens with me? I'm going to mention myself, because I've spoken with people and they tell me the same. For many pastors, the religious pastors, I'm very liberal, but I'm not. And for those who are liberal, I'm very traditional, very religious. So I don't please both sides. But my point is not to please anyone. It's to speak the truth. So when we come to congregate, as I spoke in our last sessions, it's praising God in a congregational anointing, is to study the Word. You see, people assume that, oh, I just stay at home and watch it through the internet. But it's never the same, for starters, because there are a lot of distractions. And many people have substituted it. And perhaps people can do it, but they just won't. And this happens in a lot of places because of work or of this, of children. But God gives you the ways to do it. I remember Nubia, when we started, it was from going to Tucson to Mesa for church. we suffered because we didn't have a good car, we didn't have air conditioning, we didn't have the benefits that we do now, praise the Lord. But we had decided to make, we have decided to make a pact with God to deliver our lives completely towards the Lord, not just being born again. I don't know about you, but referring to the world, I'm referring to the world as in the planet itself. There are millions of born-again Christians. And praise the Lord for that. He put that standard of receiving the Lord, of receiving Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But if it were because God put the standard of biblical maturity, of understanding and being a disciple, well, many would go directly to hell. Hope I'm going to make myself understood. Now, why do I say it? Because not every single Christian is a disciple. Not every single Christian is interested, and not many of them even know what the Bible itself says. For them, the Bible is just a boring book. You see, because it's not bright, it doesn't have notifications on it. It's not modern anymore. But you see, God doesn't change. And certain standards have not changed. Doesn't matter how it's used now. Now at churches they call them a campus. I don't know if you know that. They called it a campus. And I searched it in the Bible and I didn't find it. When they have two or three churches apart, they say campus so and so. And I said, where is that word from? That word campus. You see, we try to imitate the world. We substituted the Bible for the screen. Speaking in our churches of faith, some prefer seeing the screen because they can't see the Bible because, oh my God, bringing your glasses, because then people are going to think you don't have faith. They've misunderstood and misplaced faith or misused faith. And now I'm going on using the benefits of confession because people think that, oh, I confessed it, Brother Houston. Nothing works. It's so exaggerated just having to confess. Well, I just repeat what the Bible says. At the end of the day, God will not obligate you to do things. It's your decision. God will always be working in our hearts. But God is a gentleman. He will not obligate you. Now, the first benefit that I gave you, I'm just going to speak on perhaps 5 points. There are more, but I will mention 5. So let's see who remembers the first one. What was that? You bless God and His finished works, which is us. You bless the works of God, which is the other one. You speak according to the word of God, correct? And I believe I gave some other. Let's see if I gave all the correct notes. Hebrews 3:1, 2 Corinthians 14:13. Okay, good. Now let's see number 3. You recognize the good that is in you by Christ Jesus. You recognize the good that is in you. So we recognize that good that is in us by Christ Jesus. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. And I don't remember if I gave multimedia the scriptures, Philemon 1, 6. No. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, that word acknowledgement, that acknowledgement would be a recognizing. Now, look at the Amplified Version. And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition, look, and appreciation and understanding, and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto His glory. One more time. Notice this. I'm going to start reading where it says, and promote a full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge. But the correct word would be recognize. To recognize. For example, would you agree that you can recognize that I have some brown boots on today? Well, you would say, well, yes, I'm looking at it. So you recognize it. Now look at the King James Version. King James Version of the Bible. that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. Notice that, acknowledging. So you recognize, you accept something. Amen. So that's the best word, to recognize something. You accept it, you recognize it. For example, have you heard when Christians say, yeah, I recognize that you're very exaggerated, very desperate? Have you heard people say that? Well, or, yeah, I recognize that I should not have said this, I should not have done the other. Well, that's recognizing. When you confess the word of God, you recognize that good, which is in Christ. The good thing about this second covenant is that everything is in Christ. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph. In triumph in Christ. Now thanks be to God, who always leads me in triumph in Christ. So it's always good to confess and say, thank you, Father, that you always lead me in triumph in Christ Jesus. Look at what this doesn't say. It doesn't say that you're going to confess it and the problem is going to go away tomorrow. Or today. It could, but I'm not assuring anything. If people tell you, oh, confess and it'll go away. Well, they're lying to you, because if it's not, then what are you going to say? That, oh no, this doesn't work. And from there, people who criticize us latch onto that. And sometimes, how can I say this? Sometimes I do give the reason to our critics. It's not good that they criticize anything. If you don't agree with someone, don't watch them. But I understand why people criticize. I understand why people criticize against this and go against this. Because look, one thing is that criticism is part of persecution. Amen. But another thing is that we give the weapons to the enemy. Do you understand? In other words, people will criticize you because you're a believer in Christ Jesus. They will call you religious. They're going to call you dumb. They're going to call you names. But for example, if you give them a foothold to criticize you, then yeah, then you are dumb. Do I make myself understood? Why give them a foothold and give them more ammo to the enemy? You have to be wise. There are people who have spoken nonsense. As I told you last time, yeah, everything that the sole of your foot touches is yours, and they start stepping on things. The single sisters in Christ start stepping on the men, and, oh man, what happened, sister? You stepped on me. And then lying. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Hey man, well, I mean, give my French, but what stupidity is that? I'll tell you when to confess these things. You see this? You see this? It's cattle. Well, first, you let the Spirit of God tell you. The Spirit of God will direct you. The Spirit of God will guide you. It guides you. It directs you. And then, it guides you to do something, and then look. Do this. I will multiply on you men and cattle, and they shall be multiplied and grow. I will make you abound abundantly, and you will know that I am Jehovah. Deuteronomy 7, verse 13 and 14. Now, I didn't say it so that you could go there. Actually, you know what? Remove that. That was my error. So, what I'm saying is, you first let God direct you. Yeah, that verse that was said in Joshua, everything will be given to you that the sole of your foot touches was directed by the Holy Spirit. But you're not going to go to a house that you like and say, I claim it by faith. And there you go, stepping on the house. And then the owner of the house, you see that they're fixing it, and you say, and then you ask, why are you fixing it up? And you say, oh yeah, because it's going to sell it. Amen. It's because I declared that it's mine. And the owner says, no. Well, it's because I want to fix it up more. Because I want to put it nice. And you say, but you're not going to sell it? No. And then you're in my house. Because I already declared you have to get out. If not, God will send you a cancer. Well, you're crazy. And there are Christians like that from our area. And then the owner will later tell you, well, you know what? I'm also a believer in Christ. And God gave me this home. And he hasn't told me to give it to anyone or sell it. No, well, I passed through and I saw it and I declared it by faith. Tell me if it's not a astounding stupidity. All right, well, don't be doing that. Amen. So going back to our verse, you confess in 2 Corinthians 2:14, you don't need the Spirit of God to direct you or lead you. How many of you understand me? Amen. You don't need the Spirit of God to direct you for the promises of God. Look at an example. Here comes an example. Just listen to me. Learn to listen. Many of you don't know how to listen. Look. I am a son of God. I am a co-inheritor. I am more than a conqueror. I am a member of the body of Christ. I am sanctified in the truth. I am one with Christ and the Father. I am accepted in His love. I am a spirit with Jesus. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is so wrong. And this is so good to be confessing, but many don't know how to, and then I'll give you other verses later. But I'm confessing the Word of God. So what's so wrong in that for our critics? I'm not doing these confessions to please God or something. It's for your own benefit. We start seeing benefits. Someone say amen. We saw benefits that you bless God, you honor Jesus, you speak according to God and His Word. And actually, we'll go back to explain something in point number two, where you speak according to God and His Word. How many of you know what the word counterpart is? For example, simply a counterpart is the same. For example, suppose that the President of the United States says, hey, well, you know what? The President of the United States, look, was united with his counterpart of Mexico. Well, unfortunately, many of our people, of our people of blood, have a very low vocabulary. As to say, they speak English or they understand it, but they truly just speak certain words and understand it, but they don't know how to speak it correctly. Many people don't know. But counterpart is just the same as you. Another example. Suppose that Dr. Serrano here sitting down says, I had a reunion with my counterpart, Dr. Maldonado. Or with my counterpart, Brother Maldonado. As to not say doctor, he says counterpart. And what is that? One and the same. So, homologio in the Greek, as we saw last time, it's something in the same. So when you say, he is my counterpart in English, my counterpart. In this case, I could bring you another pastor here as many other brothers in Christ have come and say, well, in the religious world, we don't use this word a lot, but unless, as I said, many people have a very low vocabulary. They don't understand many words in Spanish, although they speak it. But you go to a church and you say, oh, well, I'm going to let my counterpart preach the word. Well, it should be another preacher or another pastor or something like that. That's a counterpart, which we get homologio from Greek, one and the same. So when you confess the word, you are one in Christ. Or better said, you confess because you are one in Christ. Amen. And you agree. You're in agreement with what it says. Now, where in Philemon 1:6, you recognize the good that is in you by Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 37. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Well, you grab your Bible, mark it, you meditate these confessions, and there are ways of confessing these things and speaking them. For example, how I have this written down, how I have this paper, I have it laminated, and I have all my confessions. And what I do, I intend to do it every single day. I sometimes don't, but that's the best that I do. Sometimes sit down in my bathroom or in my bedroom or in my living room, and I'll speak it out loud. Now, this is not witchcraft or anything of the sort. These are the benefits of the Word of God. Again, for my critics. But there are extremist people, Brother Hughes, and they speak nonsense. Amen. I agree with you, Brother Critic. I'm speaking to my critics. I agree with them, but I am not one of them. Amen. I'm not. Simply, I'm not. I preach liberty in Christ, but I don't preach libertinage or licentiousness. I don't preach licentiousness. Let's, you know what? Let's set something from here on out. And if you hear something, you'll know my position. I will always preach to you liberty in Christ, that God loves you, God will always deal with you, although you are wrong and in sin. But listen to what you'll never hear from me. I will never say, God is glad with your sin. What? Yeah, huh? I thought I was. No. God jumps for joy because you're wrong. No, you're never going to hear that from me. What you'll hear is that while you're alive, this planet Earth, if the devil doesn't kill you beforehand because of sin, God will be dealing with you. But there's also a limit, because if you harden your heart, then there's nothing God can do. Amen. I will always tell you there's an opportunity for rescue, a salvation of rescue. But you will never hear, oh yeah, we live under grace. Live in sin, doesn't matter. No matter what. Actually, nowadays, again, careful with what I'm going to say. Well, I'm getting ahead with what I'm saying, but on Thursday, it's going to be very good what I'm going to be speaking on. I'm going to give you more Bible. We're going to see what certain names mean and what that spirit in the music is. But nowadays, millions of Christians in churches, in the churches, millions of Christians, especially those who are in praise and worship, they think that God put them there to record CDs and Grammys and this and that. You see, many think the same. But you're so quiet. There's not a single verse. There's nothing in the Bible. And there are many Christians who are diluting the gospel with the excuse of grace, preaching a false grace, and diluting the gospel and giving more place to the devil, exalting the devil, than to God, because they misunderstand biblical principles. Amen. And people have told me, actually some of you as well, and from out there, oh, Brother Hughes, don't speak any of that. Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. I don't know if you knew this, but even in the secular world, in the secular history, did you know that in our secular history, they recognize Abraham? Did you know that? They recognize Apostle Paul. They recognize Isaac, Jacob as history. Well, in the secular history, even in Apostle Paul, they recognize him as the Apostle of Grace. Amen. But I'll tell you what. Paul continues speaking the truth. If there's extremes, yes, but I'll continue speaking the truth. I'm not going to speak lies. I'll preach the truth. I'll preach both sides of the coin. Amen. And one of the reasons why these things don't work for people about confession is because their lives is all giving place to Satan. One of the verses that would be good to confess, and it's very small, and you'll know it. It's in Ephesians 4:27, which is, do not give place to the devil. That's good. Write it down between the verses that you're going to confess. Not just healing. Not just verses of prosperity, which is fine, but also this. It's part of the Word of God. Am I right? I will not give place to the devil. Thank you, Father, that I do not give place to the devil in my life. Thank you, Father, I do not give place to the devil. It's right there in the Bible. You can confess it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I do not have to be sick. Glory to God, I will not be sick. That's also good. But also, I do not give place to the devil. No, what do you say in Romans 6? Romans 6:22. Good thing that it came. 6:22. Romans 6, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, oh, glory to God. Having what? And having been slaves of God, you'll have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So what is holiness? Living holy is a fruit. Notice how it doesn't say it's the root. You know, I like those silent moments. Something drops there, huh? It's a fruit. Living holiness is a fruit. It's not the root. It's the fruit. How do you know that a tree is a nut tree or a pecan tree? If you see it, well, by seeing its fruit. Not in this season, we start seeing that the pecan trees start sprouting. But someone could tell you, oh, well, this is a peach tree. Are you going to believe them? No, because you see the fruit. Which is why understanding the relationship with God, understanding who you are in Christ, will free you from sin. And people think, oh, it's fine, I can live in disobedience. They go to their churches when they want to go, when they have time. They read the Bible when they have time. They pray in tongues when they have time. That's for sure. Something bad happens and quickly they'll ask for prayer. But they will never have the faith of Jesus in them to enter into the rest of God, to change their circumstance. Oh no, they're not going to do it. Only what they want. And that's very wrong. And to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. God loves me the same. Well, yeah, God loves you the same, but the results are never going to be the same. When you walk in obedience, look, the results are never going to be the same as obedience to disobedience. Someone say amen. They'll never be the same. Never be those who preach a false grace saying, oh yeah, doesn't matter, brother. The results are the same. Walk in obedience or disobedience. No, sorry. That's not true. That's complete false. It's completely false. It's false. Not true. Circumstances will come. That's true. You can be wrong, and I will always say the same. Run towards God. Don't run from God. Don't expect to be holy because you'll be in condemnation, but run towards God. But to say it doesn't matter is an error. And there are hundreds of thousands of pastors for Christians, because that's what they're trying to do. Just catch the attention of people, because they're the same thing in praise and worship. Oh, well, how are we going to reach the world? I'll tell you something. If we do not reach the world with the Word of God, then we will not reach them of any other way. Amen. Why would we go more than what is written? Do you think you and I are much more ready than God or something? No. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And there are many promises that you can grab and confess and put them there in your bathroom when you're combing, if it is that you comb your hair, or when you're showering, if you shower. No, it will not in the shower, because they're going to get ruined if they're paper. Because, you know, there are people here who, once winter comes, they're going to shower up until March. So you can write it down there where you shower, if you shower, whatever it is. If you shave, if you brush your teeth, which is good that you brush your teeth, you can be seeing them when you're getting ready or something, or reading, putting them in your heart, speaking them throughout the day. It's not the only thing. It's not the only thing that we do, but it's good to do. And this has nothing to do with the love of God. Oh, well, God loves me the same if I do it, brother. Well, I know, but there are benefits, as I said. Do you not want the benefits? Hey, man, I want the benefits. Now, point number 4. Here he comes. You release the power of God, that power of God that is in you, by Christ Jesus. You release that power. Matthew 8. Verse 14, 15, and 16. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, and he saw his wife's mother laying sick with a fever, so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all those who were sick. Hallelujah. So what you do is release the power of Christ that is in you. You speak to your body. You say, body, be healed. Be healed. Glory to God. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Amen. You speak to your body. You curse that sickness or whatever it is inside of you. Amen. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Mark 11:23. You see, that's the word of God. Glory to God. Mark 11:23. For assuredly I say to you, now before this, in verse 22, Jesus said, now in the morning, as they, in 21, he said, have faith in God. Verse 20, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. You have the type of faith of Jesus in you. So what do you need to do? Use it. Amen. What do you need to do? Use it. For surely I say to you, whoever says this, says to this mountain, circumstance or illness, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. If he says, as he says, as he says. And you need to be willing to go beyond the normal circumstance. You have to let go of fear, and you have to stop seeing your human side. Because we have a human side. We are not humans 100%. If you are born again, a part of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. From wall to wall, Holy Ghost. This is called the torso. So from this side to this side of your ribs, from your ribs in the front to those in the back, or however you call it. Am I correct, Doc? If not, however, from here, it's the Spirit of God, your spirit, and the Spirit of God is one. So don't just be comparing and saying, oh, we're all humans. From there, you're going to start limiting the power of God. Hallelujah. You are more than a human. A part of you, divine. And based on that, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in you, you start speaking words. You start saying, I am more than a conqueror. You begin to be willing to speak words. So stop seeing your human side, because the devil will grab you on that. You start speaking. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I desire that you prosper above all things. Father, thank you. Your word says that that I am healed, that I do not have to be sick, and I prosper. Oh, Manuel. Well, we have to get sick from something, Brother Hughes. We're human. Well, if that's your believing and that's your confession, that's fine. I'm not gonna get it. Not gonna get between you. But I'll just tell you what the Bible says. You have to be willing. But what if I get sick? Well, brother, come on. I'm all full of boogers. And then you're telling me that I'm healed. I'm saying it so that you have courage to speak the word. Perhaps because you have renewed your mind. And saying and then those ways of speaking, I'm all sick. And well, you know, a time is coming and you start laughing it off. Ha ha ha. Well, if anything's just a joke to you and you start believing those things, that's what you're going to receive. Thank you for 2 amens. But you have to start resisting this. You know what will happen? Over time, you'll start seeing positive changes. And I know the question's right there. It's right there in your mind. Right there. And what if I get sick? What then? Let's see. You know what? If I get sick, I'll come up here and get in front of you. Look at that. I got sick. Oh, will the word change? No. So you continue. You continue speaking because the Bible says it, and which is why you continue speaking because the Bible says it. Therefore, for that reason, you continue speaking and continue saying. Because the Bible says it, just because of that, you continue speaking the word of God. Just for that, and until you see the results. If you're willing, if not, then, I'm just going to confess that God loves me. That God lives inside of me, and about healing, I'm not going to confess it. That's fine. Amen. Every single one will have what they believe. Someone say amen. Based on the word of God. I will not condemn you, but I will not stop teaching you. Proverbs 13 verse 1. Because if God can obligate you, then who am I to obligate you to believe? It is possible for he who believes. Believing is an act of your free will. Actually, when people say, oh brother, it's because I can't believe that. How many of you know that's a lie? You can't believe. You know what happens? You've decided not to believe. Fire. It's because you decided not to believe. And then, as I told you, the words will bind you. Look, Proverbs 6, verse 2. Proverbs 6, verse 2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken or held captive by the words of your mouth. People speak cursing daily. Big cuss words, all cursing. Words that I can't even repeat here in front of you. I don't even say them. I don't use them, but I'll just say you've heard them. I was going to say you've used them, but. You know, I'm going to say that you don't, because you're a Christian. Christians shouldn't be cussing. It's all pure cursing. I'm going to see it here. But it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Some people can't say something instead of saying car. If they don't say the F or this or F that. And they just see it normal. And they say, why do these things happen in my life? Believe it or not, We don't just live in a natural world. Actually, this world was made out of a spiritual world. There is a spiritual world. Tremendous. Proverbs 18, and here we see it right here. You can release power. One of the benefits is that you release the power of God. You release the power of God, but you can also release a malicious power in your life. 18, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Verse 21, death and life from the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power. What does it say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So, this verse, as don't give place to the devil, put it on a post-it note. And write down, death and life are in the power of my tongue. Because when it says the tongue, it's talking about your tongue. Notice how in verse 20, a man's stomach shall be satisfied. So a man, as in human being, shall be satisfied from the fruit of his lips or of his mouth. So, and shall the produce of his lips. So the human race's lips and the human race's mouth. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, in the power of the man or of the woman, of your tongue, of my tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Hallelujah. If you are a child of God, and certain circumstances, I don't know, your work, family, sometimes you just have to be near people of the world and they start speaking your cursing and it doesn't bother you, something's wrong with you. Something's not right. Man, sometimes I have to deal with people, but it's uncomfortable being near those people. Again, if it doesn't bother you, something's wrong with you. Yeah, well, I don't really care how they speak. One said, actually, you know what? I even like them. Well, check and see if you were born again. God loves you, but check to see if you were born again. But just because God loves you, if you weren't born again, then there's no heaven. Well, I thought, Brother Hughes, that with what you've preached to us in last week, that I could do whatever I want. Well, let me tell you something. Legally speaking, yeah, it's true. You can do whatever you want. Because God will not bind you. But the consequences will come. And never blame God. Hallelujah. Put a smile. Look. Smile. And never blame God. Because the consequences will come. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, you can disrespect God. Dishonor God. You can do it, meaning that you have the ability to do so. But when situations come, and more disgrace to your life, don't say, oh, well, it would tell a lie what Brother Hughes is preaching. No, it's true. It's here in the Bible. A couple of sessions ago, I said, grace does not give us from His grace. God does not give us from His grace and favor to abuse it. He gave it to enjoy it. Two completely different things. Amen. Our last point. You are more conscious of God in you than the circumstance. You are more conscious of God in you when you confess the word of God and of the problem. It's good to speak the word of God. Tell me if it's not better, for example. You're more conscious of God inside of you than of the problem. Now, here comes this question I'm going to tell you. Is it not best? The majority of a people, even those in the world, to children of God, children, Christians, people of the world, they're very mental in that sense. They constantly use their mind. They're very soulish, very, very soulish. They walk by their soul. They walk by their thoughts. You see, they're driving and then they're thinking. And normally they're thinking the contrary to God. They don't think in God. They don't think in the Word. That's one of the differences between you and the world. The world is worried. The world is probably thinking in pornography in their mind. Probably thinking what cursing they're going to do. Thinking what party they're going to go to. I'm telling you because that's... I was of the world and that's what I would think. No one can tell me, oh, that's not true. I mean, my God. I have a doctorate in mundane things. I was a good person of the world. I was a good heathen. And if someone were to tell me, oh, please come on. And I said, look, by the time that you're coming, I went and came back 10 times. And I lived it to the max. I'm telling you, Satan lost me. You know what? Want me to tell you something? You know why Satan puts depression in people, even in Christians? Because it's a way of being vengeful. Because he himself is in depression since the day he lost me. Because I was one of his best children. Oh, you don't know. Why do you think that people of my family have come here? They say, well, I want to see this. How is it possible that demon can now be a pastor? Amen. Many of my family members are angels compared to what I was. No, really. Remember what I told you on Sunday before the recording? Remember what I told you? Don't think that we came from... Brother Hughes comes from a family of prophets and apostles and evangelists. Now forget about that. That's all I'm going to say. If you like the word, if you like this, you're going to like 10 times more what I'm going to speak on Thursday. And I'll show you with the Bible. Isaiah chapter 26. If you have all the benefits, I already gave you 5. And my multimedia team. Well, I'll tell you that project later. I gave a series a couple years ago. Don't look it because it's not on YouTube anymore. But I gave a series on the benefits of the confession of the word. And I didn't want to speak all of them in this series. So I just gave a couple of them. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Notice, because he trusts in you. Again, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. See it right there. Whose thought stays. You have to practice in thinking on God. So how do I think of God, brother? How? Do I just imagine him and just close my eyes? Well, if you're driving, then you're going to crash. How do I think in God? Right there in the crucifix? No. In an image or something like that? No. The way you think on God, apart from the fact that you're conscious of the presence of God, you know that you're a child of God. Apart from praying in other tongues, the way you're thinking of God, when you're thinking on him, things on the word, verses of the word. Amen. Of that word, talking about thoughts, talking about your mind. Go to Psalms 26, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thank you, Lord.
Memo
You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You will show me the path of life. So how? Start meditating these promises of God. We have 66 books here where there are things that are for you in your life. Someone say amen. There are 66 books here. You have a second covenant. When you're driving, instead of thinking, I don't want to sound rude or like a jerk or lack of respect, but instead of thinking spiritual trash just means contrary to the word of God. My brother in Christ, don't just think, but speak. Pray in another tongue. Say, thank you, Father. Hallelujah, I am more than a conqueror. You know what? When you speak that, you also walk in the world of what is finished. When a problem, when a situation of your health comes, you say, thank you, Father, I am healed. It is finished. It is finished. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. It is finished. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And you start speaking the word. Thank you, Lord. What do you need? Oh, I don't know, Father. Well, I'm in a financial situation. Oh, glory to God. Oh, it's finished. Thank you, Lord. You supply all my needs conform according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't see it manifested exactly. When you align your mind, when you change your way of thinking, eventually you will see it. You sow seeds in the kingdom of God, give offering in faith, and you believe that what you sowed, you see, the power of seed is amazing. It's great. But you have to believe in it. We're not just talking about grabbing money. We're talking about something biblical. Someone say amen. Thank you, Lord. This is amazing. Thank you, Father, that you show me the path of life, not for hell. And in your great hand are pleasures forevermore. So you confess this, you think on it, you pray in other tongues, and the Spirit of God, it's supernatural. I mean, my brothers and sisters, want me to be very honest? Yes? Let me be very honest, because you know me. You notice how, why do you think that I'm not the classic pastor that comes, that calls you up here, and I'm just going to pray because I feel like, and you're going to fall over. Because many times, I was just, not all the times, but it's a religious fallacy. I never mentioned the Holy Spirit as something religious. Now, you know why? Because look, her and I, we came from that. And we're left annoyed of it. Again, another pastor was about the word, if you know him, Pastor Valdez. He was annoyed of it. In studying the Bible, you'll learn that many of it is just a fallacy and a lie. All those prophecies that are given is just emotion. Now, we believe in prophecy, but you know, use your faith. And on Sunday, come ready to give a word of prophecy. A prophecy, not emotions and nonsense. Someone say amen. None of that has matured the church. If that matured, my God, how many Christians would not be mature nowadays? Oh, brother doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe more than you. Many of those Christians, actually, many of them do not know the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit came in dressed up as a cowboy, they wouldn't recognize him. That's how they use the Holy Spirit. That's how you use it. The Holy Spirit is not something religious. It's not something emotional. I do it because people like to have this interaction and I explain certain things that I don't have to explain now. Have you seen those short videos that I do on Facebook Live? Me and my wife's profile? Have you seen when I pray in tongues and then I speak word? That's it. You see how I don't do it religious? Oh, how about oxygen? Holy is his presence, glory God. And I changed my voice. And I changed my voice. Just, oh, yes. And then when I get down, well, brothers, I'll see you later. You see, my voice just changed. What happened to his voice? It's all religion, my brothers and sisters. It's a fallacy. It's a fallacy. It's false. Religious nonsense. And I'm annoyed. They say I was annoyed up to here. I'll say I'm annoyed up to all around. Why I teach you a solid teaching. Alright, I was going to tell you something else. Now, it all depends on the Holy Spirit. And when you start putting the word here, oh, Chapulín Colorado, remember? You see, I beat you. When you start putting the word, you start getting used to the word. So now you will take out what's in here. Have you ever tried to get water out of a dry well? Well, good, because you're never going to get anything out of it. Well, it's the same. It's the same. You could be praying in tongues and then Brother Hughes, because you could have the ability in praying in other tongues. But if there's no word, well, I'm praying, Brother Hughes, I pray in tongues, but I can't get anything out. Well, there's nothing. It's dry down there. Because there's no word. You're not used to having a relationship with God. Because then they get scared when I say the Holy Spirit is limited from Genesis to Apocalypse to Revelations. Oh, another one. Another bomb right there. One more time. The Holy Spirit is limited from Genesis to Revelations. He will not get out of that. Remember how we read last time the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul? He said we should not speak more than what is written. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. But I say this, my brothers, I show this as an example in me and in Apollos. By love for you, that you may learn to preach not beyond what is written. That's all there is. Just you're boasting. And like that, that's how Nubia and I would hear things. We're pressing on the sole of your foot, and then the Holy Spirit told me to give you that you should give me your car. Really? Well, wait for him to tell me. Amen. And if he doesn't tell you anything in 20 years, well, in 20 years you're going to have the car. Amen. Hallelujah. You understanding? You have to learn to think on this, putting your thoughts. That's the Holy Spirit. In English, it's a prompting. And he'll bring to remembrance the word. Amen. But, well, all that happens when I close my eyes, brother, is I see that. I see the studs from the soap opera that I watch. Well, yeah, that's all there is. And then an illness comes, and then by his stripes I am healed. And you think by one confession that you make, that's it. Alex, glory to God. There's nothing there. You're drier than the dry season in May. There's nothing there. I mean, this is part of entering into the rest of God. This is is part of sitting down for a while, leaving, let the world rotate out there, and stay here in the Word of God. Believe me, you can't fix it all. You hear? You can't fix it all. You can't fix a life for your children all the time. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Has to come the moment where you have to wean them. When you wean the animals, well, you have to wean them. And let them learn to pray for themselves. Hallelujah. To learn to hear. Doesn't matter, even if they live there. You know, my children, I weaned them a lot spiritually. Doesn't mean that I don't speak with them. I don't give them some advice. I'm not there with them. But, you know, at some point, Anthony told me last time, Dad, you know what? I had a tremendous headache. And he told me, can you pray for me? I already prayed for myself, but can you pray for me? You see? Amen. No, you have to put the time there. In the Lord. Someone say amen. To Father. Well, I'll start closing up with this. Go to Mark. Praise the Lord. Good thing that I came. Thank you, Father. Chapter 4. One more time. I'll tell to all those who are listening, TV, radio, here at home, you use the grace of God and liberty as a libertinage, and to the point where you say, oh, well, pastor says, well, why do you not see the difference between your life and mine? That's what you should see. The results. I'm not boasting. I'm giving all the glory to God. It's the same results that every single one of you has to live. Because you're not going to see me or my wife in weird places disrespecting God and our calling. You're not going to see us being involved in things of the world. You will not see us. And neither my children. They know it. The day that they want to go, if they end up doing well, son, daughter, I love you. I will never stop loving you no matter what you do. You will always be my children, but you will not dishonor the home that God gave me. Oh, well, some, huh? Again, she's my daughter. He's my son. I have to support them. Well, where is it in the Bible? John 3:16? I mean, throw two or three verses at me. No, you don't have to support anything of sin or disobedience. Because what you will do is bring cursing to your home. Alex. Can't you repeat what you said last week? Yeah, I can repeat it for you. And then I'll end up preaching this again. Because what you will always have with Brother Hughes are both sides of the coin. And if you understand it like this, both sides of the tortilla. Both sides of the tortilla of the pastry. Well, Samuel, don't Brother Hughes. I mean, it's... You already see the butter there. It's calling you. You already got hungry. Get careful, Sister Lucy. Don't go heavy on the dinner. Sam, you know, control her. Hallelujah. You will always, when you hear something like, oh, is he giving us liberty? Hold on. Wait on some services. I'm going to let the other side fall. Because as I said, you will not see me in those things. But you're right now for many religious people, I'm very liberal. But for the liberal ones, I'm a religious. You know why? Because I stay in the center with the Bible. Amen. Best if you see the results, because I'm not using the grace of God as debauchery or just as an occasion to be doing whatever I want and living loosely as, well, at least God loves me the same and things like that. On the contrary, my thing is, because God loves me the same, glory to God, because God loves me unconditionally, because God is with me, because I am one with Christ, because I was a cursed son of the devil, and now I serve the living God. For that same reason, I do not want to disobey purposefully. Not on purpose. Mark 4:26, I'm going to start closing. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. I'm going to remind you something that the Spirit of God were speaking him and I yesterday. If someone from the world, people in my family or friendship, and even Christian people between you, if they had to categorize me, if there's not, there wouldn't be any other. If they had to categorize me, be it. Let's see how many of you know me. You know what? I mean, I'm going to make it as a question. If you were to categorize me, you know, put me in a category, be it. As a religious, traditional religious, from where I come, if you had to categorize me in that, as a traditional religious, or categorize me as a liberal Christian, one of false grace, let's see how much you know me. Which one of those two would I prefer to stay with? Huh? Exactly. Thank you, those who know me well. The few who answered correctly. I'd prefer to be categorized with the religious side. With the religious side, with traditional, and he's a religious. I'm not, but I prefer than to he's a disgusting, false grace preaching liberal Christians. Of those who preach debauchery, I'd prefer to be categorized as a religious, traditional person. I'd rather be on the religious side, actually. Amen. And you know, religion and I are not best friends, but I'd rather be on the religious side than on the liberal side. Which is why you don't see me, you know, preaching with short sleeves in. you're not gonna see me preaching in short sleeve and torn pants and what's modern. You're so religious, Pastor, where you even get some wind down there, you know? Everything gets fresh. Forget about that. Amen. Yep. No, you're not going to see that. You're not going to see that. Because the church wants to be presented as the world, to win the world for the world. To white Christians in Grammys and I don't know what else. And well, start throwing the Bible in there when the Grammy's delivered. It won't give you a Grammy again, although you have great music. Hallelujah. Oh, you're so religious. Again, I'd rather be put in that category than being a liberal. Hallelujah. What about me to preach? How many of you understand? There's not a code of conduct to dress up. No, I'm not saying that you can come in a short sleeve when it's hot, but it's about me. It's what I have. But again, when you come here to church, you see, for example, people say that they'll say like this: "Hey, those clothing is not appropriate for church. Like, it's appropriate to be out there in the streets, but not in church." The same. You're gonna dress your now. Of course, I'm not out there with a suit on, because you know this is my uniform to come here. Normally, I have a hat, my denim jeans, my long sleeve shirt, my boots that work with cattle. But You'll know when I'm with my work clothes or with common clothes. But I notice in female Christians, well, they say it's not appropriate to dress like that in church. But then when they're out there, forgive my French, but they're almost naked. And then the husbands. I mean, hallelujah. You know, the husband's just, hallelujah. Where was I? Where did I stay on? Alright, I'll start again. That's the kingdom of God. When a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Hallelujah. Can you see that there? Well, that same seed is the word of God. Now start standing on your feet. Thank you, Father. But still help me there in multimedia. Start standing on your feet. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Paul said, He who sows scarcely will also harvest scarcely. And he who sows generously. People say, when it applies to these verses, if you apply these verses that we read, that we read in Mark 4, some will say, oh, well, it's talking about those of the word of what is seed. Well, yeah, it's true. Now, don't remove that verse where I was. Notice how Paul also spoke as if money were a seed. It's the same principle. You cast seed, you sleep and you wake, some time will pass. But if you speak blessing into your life, you speak blessing into your home, you speak blessing, and you're wise how to use your finances. And I'll be speaking on this on the later series. When we reach that point in this study series, the life of Joseph, and you'll know, because you'll use the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Worship you and we praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your... Thank you for your favor, your word. Thank you for the connection of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Biblical, and you are giving us that connection and that conviction. You are the only one who can give us that conviction. I give thanks, Lord. Your word was spoken with truth, in freedom, with love. We passed, had a good time, we left. We enjoyed, but in the end, the word is true and it brings results. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. And we glorify you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Because the Holy Spirit is always helping us understand, always. The Holy Spirit is always with us and convinces us and teaches us and corrects us with your word, always. It's in each and one of us to accept it and to follow him, but you always do what you have to do. Thank you for that. Thank you for it. Thank you for you are a patient God. And the Bible says that the one who started the good deed in us finishes it. But in other parts of the Bible, it says we also have a free will if we reject it or accept it. And I believe with all my heart that if there is a willing heart to grow closer to you daily, daily, to follow that promise in Philippians 1, that promise will manifest.
And many of us keep running the race. We continue. We won't get distracted. And we're not going to look back or look to the side or who's next to us. But we're going to look unto you and walk in the front and run that race of faith. Many of us have determined in our hearts that our homes and our family and the Lord will serve you, Lord, because we are the children of God. We don't want to live like the world, and we don't want to live like the kingdom of darkness does. And we need to know and understand who we are in Christ, what our identity is in Him. And we don't want to go against our identity in the spiritual. And we don't want to walk in disobedience. And we don't want to be just a bunch of Christians. And we want to be believers of your word. True believers. People who believe it. People who really believe it. Disciples and students of the word. And see the changes. And it's eventually, it's not immediately, but we will do this all with your help. How can we fail, Lord? We can't. It's your grace. It's the faith of Jesus. God, it's your word. It's the Holy Spirit. How is it that we could fail? The only reason we could fail is that simply we don't believe it. That we are just a bunch of unbelievers. Or we haven't been born again. There is no other way to fail. It's everything on you. It's more that's on you than on our side. Everything was done and everything was paid for in Christ. Your love is unconditional. Where is the failure then? In doubt, maybe? In fear? The flesh, the need to crucify our own bodies, our flesh. Thank you, Lord. Someone say amen. How could we fail? Think about it, Renee. It's the grace of God, and it's not yours or mine. It's the grace and the favor is the same. It's the favor of God. We've studied it for several days. It's Jesus's faith, and then it's the word of Jesus. And you say how it says the word in him, not the word of Brother Hughes. Then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of grace. And in none of them it doesn't say the Spirit of Renee or the Spirit of Brother Hughes. It's not us. It's the word of God. Jesus paid for it all. So where's the failure? They go to the world. They get married to ungodly people. So, where is the fail? I've already explained it on Sunday. And sometimes ungodly thoughts want to come out, but we dominate them. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.